Welcome to Ditch the Suits podcast, where we share insights nobody in the financial services industry wants you to know about. We're here to help you get the most from your money in life. So buckle up and welcome to Ditch the Suits.
So this is episode 3 with Jess Blake, our resident certified trust fiduciary advisor. Say that 5 times fast. But Jess is joining us today to help talk about how to avoid making critical estate planning mistakes. And this is an area that she specializes in. She's a senior wealth manager at Seed Planning Group. And we've talked a lot about who Jess is, kind of giving you her background and why you should listen to her. That was 2 episodes ago. Last episode, what we did is we talked about really a lot of just the financial planning process and how Jess works with clients, what type of clients she works with, and things people are overlooking in the financial planning, stuff like that. So we really talked about unleashing clients, basically how to set them free from anything that's holding them back so that they can go live their best life. Today, we're going to do a deeper dive into actual estate planning. So we're going to get much more specific today about the advisor and their role in the estate planning and kind of what all that looks like. And so, Jess, we're just super excited to have you here for go number 3 at this.
Yay!
And welcome to Ditch the Suits. If you're brand new, I'm Steve Campbell, Senior Marketing Director at Seed Planning Group. And Travis, who you just heard from, is our co-host, but also our CEO at Seed Planning Group. And Seed is a fee-only financial planning firm. And so this show is all about us bringing the things that we do on an everyday basis. Jess has alluded to it quite a bit in the last 2 episodes. But how do we really help people get the most from their money in life? And so we want to share ideas back with you. Take these ideas, do them with whoever you want, but this is how you are going to get the things in life that I think are really important to you. And in this series, it's been revealing, but to really talk about estate planning, I'm excited for this one, Travis.
So Jess, my experience with clients, there are 2 definitions for estate planning, really. There's what a client might think it's supposed to be, or a prospect might think estate planning is, and then there's kind of what we think estate planning is. Which one do you want to tackle first?
Whatever one. We're going to probably talk about both. So.
All right. Well, then let's start with where clients are or prospects are coming from. Somebody hasn't gone through our estate planning. Steve, you might have input on this too. They're showing up and they're like, okay, I've got my estate plan already done, or I need estate planning. What generally do they mean when they are talking about their estate plan?
Clients think that an estate plan is a will, period.
Okay.
I've gone online, I've downloaded a basic will, and
LegalZoom. I've signed
it. Yes. And I have my estate plan done, period.
Okay. Or I've got a friend who's an attorney. Yes. I went down there, I got my will put together.
Correct.
25 years ago, we're fine. Or it could be, I told my kids, this is what's going to happen. My oldest is taking care of it.
Yes.
Okay. Any other kind of craziness?
Yeah, I would even allude to, Travis, when we do get call-ins or people we meet with, Jess and I have done openers with people, they'll say, do I need a trust? And so just mixing words and what they think. But you also get people that have accumulated those high net worth individuals who have never done a thing. And mm-hmm. So, Jess, you can talk about this. You and I have been in meetings when you talk about estate planning and you ask them, paint a picture for us. What's going on with the estate plan? And the people kind of sit back and they get very quiet and they're like, we don't have one. And so to you, if you're out there today and you don't have one, you're just like everybody else. Or maybe you had one from 20 years ago, but are there people that are named in it that you don't want? And so these are things that when you talk about estate planning, you really do see the full gamut. Even those that would say, I got a bulletproof estate plan, and then you start to unpack it and there are a lot of holes in that thing. And so you kind of run across everybody in between, some, none.
So I would go back to one of the things that Jess was talking about 2 episodes ago. And I really don't think that the estate plan, that a client or a prospect's idea of what estate planning is their fault. I would fault it more on the industry, because what happens is you go and you talk to any advisor, any so-called financial advisor out there, and they're going to say, well, go talk to your attorney about your estate plan. Or if they're a life insurance agent, they're going to say, well, you buy some life insurance, there's your estate plan, right? That's the conditioning of that. Most financial advisors will not get involved with your estate plan. They'll say, you need to go talk to an attorney, get some things done. I've literally had clients that have shown up and said, oh yeah, I went and talked to an attorney, I got a trust. I'm like, what kind of trust? What do you mean what kind of trust? Jess, how many kinds of trusts are there?
A lot. There's a laundry like, list.
Yes. Just keep. That's like Santa's list right there. Yeah. That is a big list, right? And it's just like, okay. So I think it's not the client or the prospect's fault that they don't understand what estate planning is. They're kind of being preconditioned or pre-programmed. There's also this idea that, you know, somebody can just come in after the fact and take care of things. And it's like, that's not how the laws actually work. Like there's rules. And even though you might not want to follow the rules, it doesn't mean that your heirs won't have to follow the rules. So Jess, that's kind of what it feels like when we're talking to people for the first time about trying to explain them why they need to go through estate planning. So what actually, like when you think about, okay, so pretend I'm the prospect, what do I need to know about estate planning as far as what you're going to do with what estate planning is?
Estate planning, in a nutshell, is organizing your finances and assets to ensure your wishes are carried out after you pass. All of that includes, it is managing your assets, that is, and who's going to inherit those assets. A lot of it comes down to it is money and property. So there's different types of assets that you have, tangible, non-tangible, right? Minimizing taxes for your heirs and the planning that goes into that is huge. And no one typically thinks about that, or very few. Appointing guardians for your kids, that is part of an estate plan. Setting up
this one. And dogs, right?
Oh, yes. Well, for me and you, that is huge. So absolutely. So pet trusts. but just planning for all the people and all the things and making sure that your stuff is set up. I'm telling you, this is a hot spot, and we're going to be talking about this again later. Funeral arrangements and just making sure that you have your funeral arrangements covered. This has come up very recently for us as well. So just making sure that people are planning for themselves in funeral arrangements, whether it's through their will, whether it's a pre-arranged funeral, but just making sure that the costs are covered for that so that you actually, you know, get it.
Right.
So just things like that. So it is more encompassing as far as estate planning than just having a will of a document that says who gets what.
You said an interesting thing there. You said organizing your assets, right?
Yes.
So a lot of people say, well, I have a spreadsheet, my assets on it, I'm organized. That's not really what you're talking about.
That's a good clarification. Organizing assets in a way for tax efficiencies is huge. I mean, I love taxes, so I'm going to talk about taxes a lot, but organizing your assets in a way where you're making sure, I mean, one way that I view organizing assets is where you have, and we'll come in, I mean, we're going to talk about this a little bit later when you talk about the good, bad, the ugly, but one of the things where you have multiple kids, but say you have parents that want to not necessarily equalize an estate through their estate. I'm always trying to encourage people to have the estate itself equalized, but if you can set up beneficiary designations that accomplish what your intention is for non-equalizing so that people don't really have the full purview, so it's organizing your assets and splitting them up with the proper beneficiaries and charitable beneficiaries, and that's what I mean by organizing assets.
And there can be legal registration things there. There can be beneficiary designations. Correct. There can be references to wills and trusts. It's not just when we say organizing, we're not just saying you have a good comprehensive list. That's the start, but that's not the end. And then taxes. When we talk about taxes, people are like, "Well, I'll just go talk to my tax advisor." You know, the person doing your tax return probably is not the best person to talk about your future tax situation, because they'd have to build a projection to understand all of your assets and everything that's happened in your life, how you spend money, who you're giving money to. You know, they'd have to really have a broader comprehensive view on your priorities, lots of different types of taxes, which isn't the case for all tax preparers. So even when you say taxes, you're not just saying, hey, go talk to a tax person and see if you owe estate taxes. It can be much more complicated than that.
Correct. Just from a simple thought of if you have kids and you're trying to manage how your estate is distributed to your kids and you know one of them is in a low income tax bracket and one of them is in a really high, structuring Roth accounts and regular IRAs so that the tax implication to the yes. kids is going to be in their best interest and the overall tax cost to your family is going to be lower.
I see people all the time that want to blow that off. No. I just need to split every account equally. It's like you have one kid that works and one kid that doesn't work. The one kid that does work is very successful. They're in a 24-32% tax bracket. The kid that doesn't work is in the 0% tax bracket. You can leave them each $500,000. One of them's going to pay $200,000 in income taxes. One isn't. What have you done? Or you could split the accounts differently, leave them each $500,000, and nobody's going to pay income taxes.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, yes, it is complicated, but it's $200,000, you know, and this is just an example, you know, everybody's situation is different, but it's so funny that people won't do things sometimes. They care enough that they don't want to spend money on help, but they'll give money to the government in taxes right. because they don't understand how the rules work, or they just want to pretend, you know, no, I didn't hear that. I didn't, it's not real, you know? And it's just like, wow, you know, it's fine. It's your money, yeah. It's your kids, whatever. Like you're the government's biggest fan.
One of the great tools that we have the ability to show them in cash flow tax reports, and it is really wild to be able to have something visual to be able to show clients where you can say, yeah. This is what it looks like if you do this, but if we change this, this is the overall tax savings for your family. That's so much more impactful when you have the visual behind it as well.
And sometimes people are trying to save money on taxes and they shouldn't. I've seen that too. Whether they're trying to save money on taxes or trying to protect money from the dreaded nursing home, and they're making these very, very destructive financial decisions. It's like they bite off their nose despite their face. Mm-hmm. I don't want to pay this inheritance tax over here, so I create this capital gains monster over there. Or I don't want to pay these income taxes over here, so I create these estate taxes over there. You know, and it's like, listen, there's a cause and effect to almost every decision. Yeah. That you make, like something's gonna happen with that decision. Let's make sure that we're clear on exactly what it is, especially mm-hmm. as the numbers get bigger, the cost gets bigger. You know, the oopsies turn from, you know, so what, it cost me a couple grand to, okay, it cost me a couple hundred thousand.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big difference. So your role as a planner, let's talk about, because we have a unique way that we stick our big noses into estate planning.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a big nose.
So I do too.
I think it's an Italian thing. So you and Steve have good noses. I have a big nose. But but we stick our, you know, figurative big noses into estate planning. But we do it in a different way. So what is the role, if somebody was going to work with you, what's that experience like start to finish working with Jess through the estate planning process?
So I want to know we go through these questions and have these conversations about what is important to you. What do you want to have happen and who does get what and what's important to you, et cetera, et cetera. For people who have charitable intentions and want to leave legacy related things, just understanding who it is to the extent of what they do. I mean, it's different if you're like, you know, I like sending my $50 a month over to this thing versus I want a scholarship built in my name at mm-hmm. this school. And okay, great. Like, how do we best go about doing that? Which accounts are going to be the most tax efficient ways to be able to accomplish those charitable things? So, I mean, that's a big part of it. And I think that people don't realize the extent of how everything holistically really truly ties in. So, you know, understanding what is the goal. Do you have a family home that you want to keep in the family? Do you have, you know, there's just all these different things, and that goes to use cases of trusts and what state does it reside in, and like all the different like problem child things that come along with estate administration in various states.
Yeah, I think a little bit more what I was getting to was just the explanation too is, so when we have a client that's going to go through estate planning, first of all, estate planning comes after financial planning, mm-hmm. right? Because you can't do an estate plan, what you're going to have when you check out, if you don't understand what you do have now and how that's going to grow over time. You know, where's that going to be in 10, 15, 20 years? You know, with the exception of somebody who's got a terminal illness right now, right? That could very much change that calculus. But in general, the type of clientele you're working with is you're starting with the financial planning. You kind of got to do a little bit of investment planning, whether you're managing the investments or just understanding what the client's doing with the investments, because it's hard to do that financial projection if you can't match it up to the investment management thesis, right? So mm-hmm. like if you say, look, this projection is based on you making 8% a year and they're invested to make 4% a year, the projections aren't going to work out. So the estate planning might be off a little bit because let's say that they think they're going to have X amount for certain situations and they're just not likely to have it because the growth rates are way off or something like that.
Right.
So you go through that process. Then you go through an estate process where it's really a lot of what you would think an attorney would do, where we kind of do the deep dive and ask all the what if questions and what happens if something happens to that person and stuff's supposed to go over there and what happens if something happens in that situation? What are all the fallback plans? Who's in charge if you're not? That kind of thing. And we outline all of that. We kind of draft all that out. And then we make sure that they're paired up with a credible attorney. And then we connect with the attorney. We get them the outline. We get them the financial outline. We say, hey, attorney, this is the client situation. This is where we see they're going. This is the advice that we've given them regarding kind of what these next steps are going to look like. We do think they need a trust or blah, blah, blah. Attorney, what's your feedback? What do you think? Right? So there's unity there. Mm-hmm. And then the client goes and meets with the attorney. And they go over all the legalese. And this is a big point here before we get into the next steps. Talk a little bit about the difference between legal, like attorneys will do things that, well, you can legally do that, we'll do it, versus practical. Yes, you can do that, but holy crap, like that's going to cause, you know, you're stepping on a hornet's nest.
Mm-hmm. I had a client one time. They were trying to build out this trust. And because, again, having had the experience with estate and trust administration, so what's legal versus like what is reasonable, these individuals were very, very against their kids living with anyone before they got married. And so they wanted to ensure, and so they were building kind of a trust. Well, this is, I think it was for like grandkids or something down the road, but they said that they were going to leave $10,000 to these individuals as long as they did not move in with their, you know, significant other before they were legally married. And so legally, you could do that. And I was like, do I go check the bed and make sure there's not a warm spot on the bed? Like, how do you make sure that that is actually reason? So there are so many things that people do that they, and it's wonder, I love, you know, trust estates, whatever. You can build out whatever you want to build out in the things that are important to you, but you have to be reasonable. And that's one thing with attorneys sometimes, and I think a huge benefit of financial planners who are able to help you with financial or with the drafting of your estate documents, where you can be like, okay, I understand that you feel that way, but that's not really going to be something that is reasonable to expect somebody to be able to verify.
Let's take a quick break to hear from our sponsor. This episode is brought to you by Not Quite Right Media. If you love podcasts and enjoy hearing from creators that aren't afraid to tell you what you need to hear, then check out NQR Media. Their podcasts unapologetically broadcast genuine truth to whoever wants to listen. And their shows cross a wide spectrum of topics, from leadership development to personal improvement, as well as getting the most from your money and life. Who doesn't love that? So start following their shows today at www.nqrmedia.com. That's nqrmedia.com.
Let's talk about the after effect part, right? Yeah. It's like, okay, you can legally do that, but let's talk about you're gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we're marching into that room and we're going to administer per your wishes what's likely to happen to your family and your family members, you know? And that's one example. Another example could be at a client that wanted to give an opportunity for any of their grandkids to buy their house. And what the attorney had created was exactly that, but it was something that would have been extremely disruptive to the relationships within the family. It would have just pitted family member against family member. And I'm like, you can do that. But and somebody from your family may buy this house, and the rest of the people won't like each other.
Mm-hmm.
And why would you want that scenario? Is that really what you want? They're like, no, we just want our house celebrated, you know, because it's a family house. And it's like, okay, let's think of other ways to do that from a practical standpoint. And that's the huge thing that the planner brings, is to make sure that we don't get unpractical listing things in the will. A client will go in and they'll say, hey, I want to leave $50,000 to the Boys and Girls Club and $50,000 to United Way. Put it in my will. So they put it in the will. Okay. And then the money goes through the will. So I literally had a client who had to cash out a 529 plan to give money to United Way, because they shouldn't have put the United Way in the will. They should have put it on an IRA, because the IRA is taxed anyway. So give them some tax-free money, right? Like, get out of the taxes. And don't use the grandkids' 529 account. So the planner's goal is to keep it practical and to articulate, attorney saying this and legally, client, these are your wishes and your goals and your dreams. This is part of the reason why you said that you want to know everything about that client, like what's important to them and whatnot. Because you need to be able to say, look, you can do it that way, but that's not going to jive with one of these things that you said was really important to you in your relationship with so-and-so. So how do we reconcile that? Okay, attorney, yes, you can do it like that, but what if we went that way, right? So attorney gets the documents done. The client goes in and signs all the documents. Then there's one more step, right? There is beneficiaries.
Yes.
And 9 times out of 10, people screw up the beneficiaries. They go, well, I got my will done. I got my trust done. I'm done. And it's like, do you realize that your beneficiary designations on your accounts supersede that will? So if the beneficiaries say, give it to my kids, and the will says, put it in trust for my kids, it's going to the kids, not in the trust.
Correct.
You screwed up. So the good planners will come back and address those beneficiaries, and they will say, hey, that trust that was referenced in the will, if that trust is real, put it in that. And if it's not real, then give it to the kids. And that's the role of a good financial planner all the way through the system. And then there's one more step. The next step is the review process. We review it. I don't know if there's necessarily an internal standard, but somewhere between every 1 to 3 years, we review the estate plans, because clients have grandkids.
Yeah.
And sometimes kids pass away.
I've had
that happen before, you know, and there's just stuff that changes and you want to change, you know, charitable inclinations change. Are there, in your opinion, differentiators when you get to financial professionals in this space? Talk about us for a second, and then we can talk about attorneys. Do you think with financial planners that there's differentiators between planners and who's going to be able to take you through that process we just said?
Oh, exactly. So if you are not working with somebody that has a purview of everything that you have going on, whether, you know, both with investment accounts, life insurance policies, everything, just understanding properties you own, et cetera, and what your goals and true intentions are, there's not going to be solid advice behind that if you're working with a financial professional that is just managing one or two accounts. They're going to be like, oh yeah, you totally need an insurance policy. You need to make sure that you have this. They're just going to give you advice on what they have purview to. So it's not going to be really effective for you. So you really need to make sure you're working with somebody that actually knows what's going on with the whole picture.
Yeah, in the insurance industry, I mean, there was lots of trainings we went through that was about the insurance agent getting the attorneys to team up with them to help them sell huge life insurance policies to clients. And I know a lot of good attorneys that became very put off by any time an agent would walk in the door or even a financial advisor, because it was like, all you're doing is trying to get us to help you sell stuff to the client. Yeah. We don't want to do that. But then there's also a differentiator with, let's just say, attorneys or legal practitioners, right? In your experience, is there you know, an attorney's an attorney. Is there any difference between the attorneys?
Oh, there's a huge difference in the attorneys. And I think to kind of go into what you were just saying a little bit about, you know, you rub my back, I rub yours. A lot of the attorneys, I think, if you're a financial professional that are recommending over clients to them, they feel that you're looking for the same thing. So that there's like an unknown, you know, you're sending business my way because you're expecting me to send business your way. And that's a huge thing that, I mean, yeah. We do not drive for that. That is not the reason we do it. We recommend clients to attorneys because we understand that whatever they're able to provide is what our clients need. That is a huge, huge piece of it. There are a lot of clients that do not realize the difference between an attorney that focuses on real estate and an attorney that focuses on estate planning, and to whatever degree. It's like, here, I have a background and a specialization with estate planning. There are a lot of attorneys that specialize in different things. So you want to make sure you're giving a really good match for what their expertise is as well.
Hey guys, Steve Campbell with Ditch the Suits. Want to take one quick moment to make a big ask. If you haven't already, Travis and I would love for you to subscribe to this podcast. But if you haven't also, we would love for you to leave a 5-star rating and review. Your rating and review will let other podcasters know that this show is worth their time. So let's get right back to the episode. And thanks for listening to Ditch the Suits podcast.
Yeah, I think that's huge because I've seen really good, and you know, we're not attorneys. But one of the things that we can help with a client is we can see when something doesn't look right because yeah. We've seen so many different estate plans and all the documents that come with them. And we can say, first of all, you know, you're missing I literally caught a will one time that was missing a paragraph.
A lot of them are, I mean, they take them.
Because they're templates, they're cut and paste. Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, you can just I've seen one page wills before, and I'm like, I'm sorry. It's nice that it's one page, but it doesn't cover what you need it to cover.
Yeah,
you know. Well, I just want it to be simple. It doesn't matter if you want it to be simple. You're talking about the state government when you're talking about your will, because it's a document that dictates what's going to happen. And if the document isn't clear, it goes to the state to deal with. Yeah. Right. So it needs to be done a certain way and it needs to be done well. And I think that just gets us to, we're just going to hammer this home. Why is it so darn important to work with a fiduciary when you're talking about estate planning?
Because we're trying to make sure that everything is being done in your best interest, period. That is it. And oh gosh. Yeah. Exclamation point. Underline.
Yeah. Well, I think it goes back to what you said about the attorneys. When we go to, because I've done plenty of intro discussions with attorneys. When we go to them, I think they're always taken aback by it. We say, look, we need someplace to send our clients that we can trust that you're going to communicate with us. You're going to read the material that we send you ahead of time. Mm-hmm. The client's not going to come back with some weird kind of completely different thing than we sent them to you for, which can happen a lot.
It does.
I'm not here, attorney, to send you business so that and concerned with whether or not you're sending me business back, right? You're going to do that if you think I do a good job. Mm-hmm. What I need is somebody to do and to execute what we're sending them. This mm-hmm. is what we need done. And I think that's the same thing with the client. When you're in an environment where it doesn't matter if the client buys life insurance, it doesn't matter if they invest with you or anything like that, your goal, like we've done enough estate plan administration now. My goal is when you pass away and I connect with your family, that's a good experience. Mm-hmm. Because I've had the bad experiences. I can tell you how it feels on this end to have that emotional kind of cannonball that's being thrown around when the family is at each other's throats and that kind of stuff. And there's a lot of fear and anxiety in the family. And I've been on the other end too, where, okay, we know we got this. We know what your role is. We know what our role is. We know that, you know, where everything is. Everything's, you know, has been properly addressed. There might be a mistake or two, but those things can be fixed because the bulk of everything is where it's supposed to be type of stuff. When you go through something like that, everybody just has, it's more of an enlightening, it's a partnership to get through a grieving process versus a horrible wall that you have to climb when you're dealing with the fact that you just lost somebody that you really care about. Right. And so that's my goal, is to always have it so that when that client's family calls me up, we can talk about the memories and the great things and how they set things up for them and what they really wanted. You know, that's really that experience that you want.
And the other thing that I also think is important to note is that just because they are an attorney does not mean that they are perfect or that they do everything correctly either. So this actually happened recently where we were reviewing a will internally. And this is where having enough estate administration has come in very, very useful, because I'm reading through the will and I'm like, it created a circle. And there literally was no end. And so, and I've actually administered or been involved with a lot of, you have to take it back to court and you have to get the judge to basically come up with a decree for what the final, you know, where are these assets ultimately going to go? Because when the attorney drafted the document, they did not do it properly, so it created a whole circle. And clearly that's a problem. So people have to also remember that just because they're an attorney, it does, mistakes can happen, which is another reason why having a fiduciary involved, having a financial planner that is helping you review those documents and can help you identify those problems in advance so that you can get them fixed is really important.